recognize that we want to get a new harbor start in place. And the new harbor start is a very difficult component to get on a harbor project right now.
Haynes takes another approach to major harbor expansion and taking a look at where Northern Lynn Canal voters disagree with the rest of the state. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The state of Alaska continues to count ballots from the 2010 primary election and probably won't have clarification on one of the most critical races for at least a week. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski currently holds 48.9% of the vote, while challenger Joe Miller is counting 51%. That's a difference of just under 2,000 votes. However, the state is still calculating at least 7,600 returned absentee ballots out of the more than 16,000 it gave out. The Division of Elections says final results won't be available until early September. Local results for the Murkowski-Miller race, however, show the majority in favor of Murkowski for the Republican nomination over Miller in Skagway, Klukwan, and Haynes, but not in the Haynes Highway voting area, which cast 58% of votes for Tea Party and Palin-backed Miller. For the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senator, Sitka Mayor Scott McAdams took most of the votes in Haynes and Skagway, but not in Klukwan. He won the statewide nomination, beating two Democratic challengers with almost 15,000 votes statewide. Most other majority votes in Skagway, Klukwan, and Haynes voting areas matched statewide primary election results, including Democrat Ethan Berkowitz and Republican Sean Parnell nominated for the race for governor, Democrat Diane Ensign and Republican Meade Treadwell for lieutenant governor, and a majority vote against Measure 1, which would prohibit public funds for campaigns or lobbying. Local voters did not follow the state's lead when they voted mostly against Measure 2. Local voters cast votes saying they wanted to keep the law the same, which does not require parental consent for a minor to have an abortion. However, the measure passed statewide by an 11% margin. The State of Alaska Division of Elections recorded Haynes Representative Bill Thomas brought in about 1,100 votes in the GOP primary for his widespread House seat. Cordova City Council member Robert Beadle scored 740 ballots in the Democratic primary area-wide. The district includes about two dozen small southeast cities and villages, including those in the Northern Lynn Canal. Specifically in Haynes, Skagway, and Klukwan, Thomas scored 435 ballots, while Beadle took 262. Fewer than a quarter of Skagway's registered voters cast cards for the 2010 primary at around 23% turnout. In Haynes, the same turnout was recorded for the Haynes Highway jurisdiction and 30% in Haynes. Klukwan recorded the highest voter turnout at 40% for the primary election. The filing period for local borough elections closed this week in Haynes and earlier this month in Skagway. Two seats are up for election on the Skagway Assembly, those of Paul Reichert and Mark Schaefer. Both of those men, as well as former Assemblymember Mike Korsmo, declared they'll run for those two seats. On the Skagway School Board, Darren Belial is running for re-election. He's currently vice president of the school board, but the October election is for his general appointment to the board. Board reorganization after the election in October will determine seat assignments. In Haynes, two assembly seats with three-year terms are up for election. Running for seat B are Linda Giese, John Wing, and incumbent Steve Vick. Greg Goodman is running unopposed for Haynesborough seat E, the position currently held by Norm Smith. Three Haynes School Board seats are open this year. Incumbent Sarah Swinton runs unopposed for seat B, a three-year seat. Sean Cohn is running against incumbent Brenda Jones for three-year seat E, and Anne-Marie Palmieri is unopposed for her one-year seat, seat G. Skagway and Haynesborough elections are October 5th. KHNS will have more on local candidates in upcoming broadcasts. This week, engineers will present a handful of ideas to the Haynes public for what could be the next phase in the small boat harbor expansion. Thursday's meeting introduces five ideas for harbor improvements to the south side of the harbor, work that could get Haynes closer to realizing its bigger dream of much larger harbor development later on. Harbor expansion is not a new concept in Haynes. The borough spent years working to improve the north side of the harbor, but has spent at least a decade looking in the direction of a larger harbor expansion.
Through the process, we've determined that possibly a south harbor expansion makes more sense at this time, precluding a larger harbor expansion in the future.
Brad Maynard is facilities director for the Haynes Borough. He's been working with the harbor staff, the advisory committee, and PND engineers, a firm with years of experience with Haynes and Skagway harbors. The group has been investigating the range of possibilities for Southside harbor improvements.
PND has done some wave analysis of the harbor. We're looking at some options of a combination of a wave barrier like is up in Skagway and possibly some, you know, rubble mound breakwaters. And then we also added components to this this concept in the harbor where we have a boat launch, which could be funded by ADF&G, maybe a drive down ramp where you can offload boats, some components that'll help the tourism and the cruise ship industry possibly.
Focusing on Southside components could be the step that gets the borough closer to the larger expansion down the road, explains Maynard.
I think one of the things that Mark and I and the community had looked at the Harbor Advisory Board early on is that we recognize that we want to get a new Harbor Start in place. And the new Harbor Start is a very difficult component to get on a harbor project right now. We feel that going to the south side with some of these smaller components may be a direction that will give us that opportunity. But once you can establish the project as a new harbor start, then it opens up more opportunities in the future to continue on with the project.
Ed Barrett is the new harbor master in Haines. He arrived from Whittier, where he was harbor master for 2 years and city manager for 8 months. Before that, he spent 13 years as harbor master in Friday Harbor, Washington.
Well, this is my second week in Haines, and I found it to be a very welcoming community, and I'm very happy to start in this new position. There's always a lot to learn in that initial period of time. But marina management is basically the same wherever you go, and so I expect to pick it up fairly quickly. And I'm looking forward to working with the capital projects here in town, which is fundamentally my forte in the business, husbanding capital projects through the what can be the tedious public process. Working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, I have the experience, and I expect to be able to see Haines through some of these projects.
Barrett has worked on harbor expansion projects before and says the public involvement is a big part of the process.
There are many components at play. The Corps is interested in breakwaters and dredging. The Alaska Department of Transportation helps with the interior design of harbor facilities. It's immensely important that the public is involved in these processes as we go along, because the time element becomes a kind of a long timeline, and people who you've had in the know in the beginning can drop away, and oftentimes you find as you're getting close to implementing the process that you've come up with, there are new people involved who claim that they've, this is the first I've heard of it. So it's very important to keep the public involved.
The Harbor Advisory Committee has already provided feedback on the new options. At this point, user groups like fishermen, boat owners, tour operators, other tourism workers, and other stakeholders are invited to join in the conversation, sharing their ideas and opinions about the 5 designs that have been created over the last 2 months.
So what we're actually interested in is we're interested in the public input and the ideas that, we don't think about when we're going into a project from our, from our perspective. And those are the things I think are pretty important.
The public meeting to discuss options for expanding the south side of the Haines Small Boat Harbor is Thursday, August 26th at 4 p.m. in Haines Assembly Chambers.
And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to put all those components out and understand the costs of them. So as we move forward with the Corps Engineers expansion of the harbor, we can work with them and look at maybe going a different direction that, we'll both have some benefits from it. So that's what our meeting is on Thursday, and we really want to see people at that meeting so the public has a good understanding of not the direction we're going, but that the direction that we can go. And that's where we're at still on this project, is we're determining what direction we want to go. We're not putting out a plan that says this is what we're doing. We're still in the, in the phase where we're, looking through the options.
What might you say after running 360 miles? 1 year after Haines, Kelly Hostetler did it. She's saying, let's do it again.
It was a great thing to do, not only the running, but being out there and having people in the community be out there and be a part of it and raising money for hospice.
The Golden Circle Run is back for its second year and raises money for Hospice of Haines by earning pledges for a run around the Golden Circle, Skagway, Haines Junction to Haines. Kelly Hostetler and Melina Shields completed the circle last year, bringing in more than $8,000 for the local nonprofit.
My dad died of esophageal cancer, and hospice played a role at the end of his life. And Melina's mom died of cancer as well. Hospice does so much more than what even the community understands. And there's many volunteers that give their time to work with clients and to be with clients, just to take them shopping or to read to them or to help them do chores or things that they just can't do right now, on top of all the other things that they do.
Local sponsors are back with their support, and fundraising is ongoing, with less than a week left until the start of the 12-day journey. Pledge sheets are at local businesses, and donors can sign their name on a sheet along with a monetary amount that'll be passed on to the local branch of hospice.
And we're going to follow the same schedule pretty much that we did last year, and Jessica Edwards is going to be with me the whole time, and she'll do some running, and of course Les and Hannah, and there's a number of other people that are come out and ride their bikes and run with me as well. Melina hopefully will come out for a day or two on the tail end, but she has work commitments that she couldn't take off the whole 12 days.
Hospice care provides medical services, emotional support, and spiritual resources for people who are in the last stages of a terminal illness. Pledges to the hospice fundraiser, the Golden Circle Run, September 1st through 13th, can also be done online at goldencirclerun.org. There's also more information there about participating in the run. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News.